I take my shirt off. Work all day, hustle and pray. Got nowhere to go. Got to catch my sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar. Ah, plantain, plantain.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Shirtless Plantain Show. Hope everyone is doing well. I'm your host, Tosin, alongside my brother, Coach. How you doing today, man?
Yeah, man. I'm doing well. I'm doing well as well as I can be. You know, every day above ground is a blessing, guys.
Every
Unless
single.
You're a local fan, but...
Oh, I can't wait to talk about them. I'm so excited to talk about them. Coach, you have some news for everybody. Would you like to share?
Yeah, just... Yeah. I played in the tournament on the weekend, guys. So I'll give you guys a little bit of background. So if you guys didn't know, I'm a Muslim, yeah, allegedly. but I am. So my mosque that obviously I've been going to since we hold a, I suppose it should be a yearly tournament, but it's actually every 2 years. And it's basically divided up into like the generations that you're born in, basically. So you have like, you know, the guys from the mid 80s, the guys from the early 90s, the guys from the mid 90s. And then, you know, you get younger and younger. And this year we had debuts from the team of 2008, you know, which is crazy. Tosin, do you feel old?
I'm going to tell you why I feel old. Yesterday, my dad called me and he said, Tosin, what year did you graduate high school? So you saying this to me is just like, Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we do it, you know, we try to raise funds for a mosque. We're trying to obviously like build a new one. So it's just one of our initiatives basically. But it's such a beautiful day. In general, like, you know, these are all people that I've known pretty much most of my life kind of thing. Played football, a lot of these guys for about at least 15-ish years at this point. Like, you know, this is family, so especially the guys in my age group. You know, the teams are obviously divided up kind of thing. So the last two tournaments, and this is how you know I'm an Arsenal fan, my team, we call ourselves Total 90, obviously, because we all love Nike. We've come second twice. We've come second twice, guys. Toss is fighting a smart, and I hate you so much. We've come second twice, but I'll tell you what, yeah, the tournament in 2023, yeah, I'll never forget. That day, got to the pitch, I got off my car and I was like, oh, we're winning today. Like, I felt good. Like, I was like, yeah, we're it's going to be tough, but we're going to win today. And that, basically, we were unbeaten, if I'm correct. Yeah, we were unbeaten up until our last game, because it's the basis of tournament, round robin sort of thing. So every team played each other twice. And our last game, all we needed to do was essentially draw and we guaranteed, you know, winning the tournament. But at this point, obviously, because it's a long day basically, and there's breaks in between matches and stuff like that, your muscles stiffen up, do you know what I mean? Like you get tired, all those little niggling injuries, like all the adrenaline wears off in between matches and stuff like that. So by our last game, we're literally the walking dead to the point where I have to go and goal in the final. And we lose. Like we go ahead, and essentially they get two goals really quickly, and we lost. And it was just a really heartbreaking day. Fast forward to this year, now. I won't lie to you. I won't even spoil it for you. So I won't even waste your time. Sorry, guys, we smoked it, man. Went unbeaten, scored the most goals. We only conceded one goal. Like it was essentially what you were. You know, you guys know basketball, the redeem team, if you like. We came back fully tooled up and we're just like, we're not losing today. And when you go on Instagram, you'll see like the newsletter just like, detailing the whole day. You'll see some pictures that I took and stuff like that of the day and shit. But it was a beautiful day. And just in general, just, you know, we redeemed ourselves, but also we had a lot of people not wanting us to win that day. Like, a lot. Like, the banner was flowing the entire day. But, yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed the Insta post and shit like that. But yeah, check us out, man.
Please. The long story short of this is that art imitates life. So if you're an Arsenal fan, that means good news for you.
Basically, yeah. I've got the winning taste, you know what I mean? Now I want the whole load.
All right, Paul Pierce, let's go into La Liga before Coach takes us down the haram way. We had El Clasico. We're going to start with El Clasico today because I watched this game. And before we get into the game, I want to tell everybody this. Whoever thinks Jude Bellingham does not start at the World Cup, you're smoking something, okay? There's not a single English player right now that is going to bench Jude Bellingham. Unless you go back into yesteryear and go get Paul Gascoigne in his prime or Wayne Rooney in his prime, no one's shifting Jude Bellingham. No. Okay? That boy is... He makes football look so simple, and it's annoying how good he is at the sport. I almost want to punch him in the face because it's like, why are you so good?
He's all off like a 6'2" frame as well. Like, he's not a small, he's not a small dude, man. And I feel like the disrespect Jude gets, and again, I'm not projecting, but I feel like a lot of people are projecting when they disrespect Jude. You know, because we know what he is. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you know, there's a coach that used to play for Jamaica, and he used to play in the Premier League as well. He's always on Instagram running these gums talking about Jude not being this, not being that. Let me just be clear, this guy's a fucking clown. Like, he don't know what he's talking about. He's an idiot. Like, he was comparing him to Bergkamp and Zidane last year.
Yeah.
And then the other day before El Clasico, he was comparing him to Pedri. Like, make up your mind, you old fool. Do you know what I mean? Like, and it's so, I'm so glad that the way that he created the goal for Mbappe, he basically sat down Pedri as well. It's just like, yeah, put that earpad on smoke. And this is someone comes from that loves Pedri. But you're pitting him against someone that doesn't have the same qualities as him, but you're expecting him to play that way as well. Like, are you an idiot?
Yes,
do you know what I mean? Yeah, he is. You know, so yeah, I'll leave it there. You know?
Yeah. So Mbappe obviously scored the first goal. Fermín López tied it up with an assist from Marcus Rashford, and then Jude Bellingham scored. And yeah, there was chances, a lot of chances Roma did not take. Vinny was on smoke. I think the greatest thing about Vinny was when he got subbed off. He was so pissed.
Yeah, that actually, I tell you what, yeah, but that's a part of him that I do like, because at the heart of it, Vinny Jr. just wants to play football, innit? Like, you know, you see it in the way, he's someone that works incredibly hard. He's not like a diva in a sense, in his style of play. He's someone that his best attribute is his stamina. He keeps running and running, up, despite his dribbling, obviously, but he can execute those, you know, high intensity runs and dribbles, you know, with 85 minutes on the clock. Do you know what I mean? So I don't particularly mind that. I'm not, you know, bothered by that. Yeah.
One of the things that I hate the most in my life is seeing two black men get into it with each other and a black man hurt another black man. What he did to Jules Koundé, to me, I would have to call the Rainbow Coalition. I have to call Malcolm X. I have to call Martin Luther King. You know, I have to call up the ancestors, because that was not fair. Yeah. He bullied this poor Jules Koundé guy. And something that I saw in the first half, it was Eder Militao, who played his ass off, by the way. Eder Militao was definitely back. Eder Militao was 1v1 against Keita Balde, and he little boyed him. And I was just like,
blew past him. Like, hang on, you didn't do your ACL.
So, point is, Brazil has their back too, I believe. I think that it has to be Militao. But then again, there's also Marquinhos. But all I know is Gabriel starting. It has to be one of the two.
I'll be honest, like, even before Ancelotti took over, Gabriel was starting for Brazil anyway. But Marquinhos, I feel like Marquinhos' experience is great. Unless Brazil play a back three, which I don't think they will.
No.
They won't play a back three, but Marquinhos is the captain, right?
No, it's Casemiro.
It's Casemiro. Casemiro by... I don't know. It is what it is. But anyway, Gabriel was left-footed, isn't it? So I guess he gets into the team.
Yeah, so we do want to talk about Barca's high line. Let's talk about Barca's high line and we'll talk about the fight.
Yeah. Barca, even when the game, there was still a lot of time on the clock. I'm used to seeing it every week kind of thing. But against Real Madrid with Mbappe, you don't have to chase the game like hooligans. Like, Real Madrid had a lot of chances to just break the offside line, and I've no idea why they, you know, why they couldn't tank up. They only had 5 offsides, ironically, but I feel like all 5 times they shouldn't have been offside, basically.
Yeah. It wasn't necessary.
Yeah, it wasn't necessary. But yeah, I think overall, though, let's just be clear. I do think Real Madrid definitely deserves to win this game.
Oh, for sure.
Lamine Yamal, not his best game. Had some nice bits here and there, but I think we're going to end up talking more about what he did after the game than what he did during the game.
I will say this much about Lamine Yamal. He played like an 18-year-old, and I don't know how you want to take that, but he played like an 18-year-old. I said this, we'll talk about him later, but as a young gentleman who plays for Pizza, Nigeria guy, and they were comparing him to Yaya Toure, and I was like, but this is the problem with football fans now, right, is that you compare a 20-year-old who does very well, but when he starts playing like a 20-year-old, you get upset. Lamine Yamal is otherworldly, but he's still 18 years old. Let's not get that twisted.
Not having a good game at the Bernabeu is, at 18 years old, it's like...
Okay.
It's fine. Who cares? who actually cares?
There's an 18-year-old named Endrick who's probably going on loan. So... You
know? No, that's not Endrick. That's Sir Bobby Charlton to you.
Oh, it's my fault. Sir Black Charlton. But the fight after the game. One of the funny things that I did see after the fight was... Real Madrid players are celebrating, right? And then comes Xabi Alonso, basically telling them to shut the hell up, and they all stop celebrating immediately.
I mean, he has to be conscious of the fact that, you know, they're not the champions. Like, they beat the champions, but, you know, they're starting from zero, basically. So that's not a bad thing, I'd say. You know? But I do like the fact that the beef is back. Like, it's really, really back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy about that.
Yeah, I love to see the fight. It showed everybody had passion, and I loved it. It was great. Some other results in La Liga. Real Sociedad beat Sevilla 2-1. Mikel Oyarzabal, as they like to say. I hate the way they say his name so much.
But it's Oyarzabal.
Yeah.
but it's arguably the most Spanish name of all time.
Ever.
It genuinely
ever. Ever. It's the most Spanish. Like, the way the commentators say it. But you got to brace. Sevilla did not beat them. Valencia lost to Villarreal 2-0. They keep on chugging along. Gerard Mourinho and Santi Comesa scored goals. So good for them. Pepe did his thing, as always. And today, we had Real Betis lose to Atletico Madrid 2-0. Two first-half goals sealed the deal for Diego Simeone's side. They needed this win because they were, you know how they've been this season. Real Jekyll and Hyde. We don't know what we're going to get from them, but they got a win. Early goal from Giuliano Simeone and a banger from Alex Baena. And that was that. They had four shots in the second half, Betis did, but they really didn't trouble them too much. And, you know, when Atletico Madrid decides to grind people out, that's not named Arsenal, they can do it. So there's that. Coach, can we get the standings in La Liga?
Yeah, just before I start, Barcelona are the only team in the top five not to win this weekend. So everybody gained ground or got away from Barcelona this weekend on them. So, yeah, Real Madrid, 27 points in first. Barcelona in second. On 22 points. Villarreal are still obviously the third best team in Spain on 20 points. Atleti on 19 points in fourth, and Espanyol on 18 points in fifth place.
It's going to head over to Serie A. Napoli beat Inter 3-1. Lautaro, in the 14th minute, had a chance. And this is why, like, I saw someone on our YouTube the other day, and I hope you're listening to this, because I told you Victor Osimhen is a top five striker in the world, and he is.
Yeah, I saw the comment as well, actually. How dare you?
Like, all those strikers you put ahead of Osimhen, I'm like, bro, you put Isak? First and foremost, Isak has never scored 30 goals in his career. Osimhen's done it twice. There's only been one African to ever win Golden Boot in Serie A, that's Victor Osimhen. Let's have some respect to Victor Osimhen. I know he's playing in Turkey, but as we see in Europe,
playing in Turkey is pretty much like it's big fish in a small pond. Like, Osimhen is better than Turkey, and again, no disrespect to Isak. Isak is incredible, like, he really is, and he might be a better player than Osimhen, but you ain't seeing Osimhen in terms of just being a goal hungry goal getter. I'm sorry, Osimhen is clear. He really is. So,
we even got distracted because I was about to say Lautaro, who he said is better than Osimhen, he missed a 1v1 chance in the 14th minute, and if he had tucked that away, the game would not maybe have been 3-1. But anyways, Kevin De Bruyne ends up getting a penalty, ends up scoring, immediately pulls his hamstring, and he's out till February.
Yeah, that is the most Kevin De Bruyne. I personally knew this would happen. Not that I was wishing it on him, but I just thinking, yeah, you're not good. Under Conte, this version of KDB in your twilight years, no. Conte is notorious for killing these guys. He's notorious. Like, his hamstrings were never safe.
No.
Not under Conte. These hamstrings were never.
You went to the worst coach. You should have gone to Carlo Ancelotti.
Yeah, basically, man. You went to the worst coach for your hamstrings, man. But, man, I think the goals afterwards were flipping impressive. I mean, the McTominay one was just... I keep telling you, people must know about this by now. McTominay's ball striking is one of the best around. He is, with both feet, he has got that down to a science.
I'll say this much. Outside of Garnacho, if you graduated from Man United's academy and don't know how to strike a ball, you must have failed. Because Danny Welbeck can still do it at his big age. So, yeah, McTominay's ball striking for that was insane. But Anguissa.
Oh,
I think Anguissa is the most underrated Serie A player and has been for a very long time.
Yeah.
I know the terminology you used to call Anguissa. We're not using that today. We're not. I promise you I'm not going there. But he's that definition. Like seeing him just run through the midfield, I'm just like, bro.
On your left foot as well, bro.
All I know is that the only equalizing thing that does not scare about Cameroon in the World Cup qualifiers is the fact that they got Andrew Onana in goal. And call it labor midfield. they got a penalty, Inter, but it was 3-1. Napoli in the league versus Napoli in continental football is some of the funniest things in the world because they get the hair version of Conte in the continental, but they get the bald version of Conte in Champions League. Because why are you losing the PSV 6-1? What is wrong with you?
Yeah, Napoli are clearly just saying, you know what, let's get some Serie A titles under the table. Conte is not the manager. They're not trying to win the Champions League right now. They're not concerned. Any team that employs Conte knows they're not trying to win the Champions League. They've accepted that. They're trying to win the league. So none of that is surprising to me. I do want to see Napoli in the knockouts because I do think there's a chance for another hilarious scoreline with them involved for sure.
Inter had a little blip this weekend, but they'll be all right. They should be fine. Cremonese won, Atalanta won. Jamie Vardy got his first goal. And guess what? He's a drunk backflip. I don't know what he was trying to do with that celebration, but it worked.
So, my respect for Vardy just is always just going to be this high. I never saw this move coming, and that's what makes him respect him even more. Because Jamie Vardy really should be retired by now. He should be.
Yeah.
But he's clearly just doing it for the love of the game.
Surely.
It's so hilarious that he's gone to a team that is... They're minnows. Like, let's be for real here. They're minnows. But we know what he loves. He loves that. That's Jamie Vardy. When Arsenal wanted him, we was never going to sign him. That's not his style. Jamie Vardy has to be the man, basically. I love that. You know, he's not taking the easy way out at all. He's playing the game on hard mode. Even though he could have went Arsenal and, you know, pretty much had shit served up for him super easy with Ozil playing with him. You know what I mean? But I love it. I love that for him. And I think he's genuinely an English legend and a modern cult hero for sure.
Oh, for sure. He's won everything with Leicester. Got the most appearances, most goals. So shout out to Sir Jamie Vardy. Bresciani got the equalizer. Lookman has been easing back in. He looks a bit rough for Club and Country, but that will come with time and minutes because Lookman.
We don't want to be there.
No, he doesn't. He absolutely doesn't. And we need him for Nigeria. So Lookman, please fix up our bag. We need you. Roma, Travis Sassuolo, Paolo Dybala got a winner. Those white kits that they have are pretty nice. Can't lie to you. Very nice kits. Beautiful gowns. Milan 2, Pisa 2. I watched this game in its entirety, actually, and I had a great time. Liao, he was warming up. Liao's actually becoming Liao, becoming the man. Hit the crossbar, but he opened up with a really good goal in the 7th minute. Juan Cuadrado got a penalty. I don't even know what a penalty is anymore in football, man. I'll tell you that one.
I was more shocked at the fact that Cuadrado was... Where is he at? Say Fiorentina, right?
Not Pisa.
Pisa, sorry. Yeah, he was at Fiorentina. I was like, whoa, you're at Pisa? Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. He's just doing whatever he wants. And then the second goal for them scored by Mbala and Zola. The goal was really good. But really what took me, and I showed you the assist in the group chat, was the assist from Ebenezer Akinsaramo, the Nigerian midfielder. That boy is ready to play for Nigeria. Okay?
Yeah.
He's like...
No, I was just going to say, it just reminded me of the McTominay goal, the way it was set up.
Yeah.
It was pretty much the exact same thing.
What makes me so happy watching Ebenezer play in midfield is most Nigerian midfielders are shin kickers. We got a lot of Frank Onyekas. We don't have too many players who can actually pick out a ball. And I'm watching him do this assist, and I'm just like, huh, So imagine if Osimhen got on the chance of these passes this young man is playing. And it wasn't like as if he was playing against like some small boys. He was playing against Uncle Luke and he was handling his own at 20 years old. So Ebenezer, my eyes on you for sure. I hope he gets caught up to the next Nigerian national team. But in the second 96th minute, it was Zachary. I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name, but he's half Nigerian because half the world is Nigerian anyway. I don't know how, but probably everybody in this world somehow is Nigerian. I don't know why or how everybody's Nigerian, but it's happening. And last but not least, Lazio beat Juventus 1-0. But the big fallout of this is Igor Tudor got fired this morning. So put that in your pipe to smoke it.
Yeah, I'm really glad. Hopefully one of or both of Openda and Jonathan David leave in January. I don't know, that'd be great for me personally. But yeah, anything bad happened to Juve is good for the world. So
did you see the replacements that Juventus apparently are looking at towards?
Go on.
Roberto Mancini and Luciano Spalletti.
Oh, Spalletti could work, you know.
Even though he has a Napoli tattoo on him?
It could work, bro. It's Italy, bro. Like, I'll just throw out a random name. How many teams did Vieri play for in Italy?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm kidding. Okay, so, yeah. Whatever, bro. How many teams has Conte managed in Italy, bro?
Conte?
Yeah.
Conte don't give a damn. He's going wherever who signs his checks.
See what I'm saying? So, yeah, that would be a stumbling block. Yeah, that's cool. I don't mind that.
Yeah. Let's get out of Italy. Let's get the standing so we can go over to Germany.
Yeah. Just so you're aware, Juve are quite literally winless in five. So that's good. But Napoli, yeah, they're in first, 18 points. Roma in second, also on 18 points. Milan in third on 17 points. And Inter in fourth on 15 points. Bologna are still up there, actually, in fifth, only a point behind Inter on 14 points.
The title race in Serie A is always fun, man.
Man. It's a good league, man.
They're just cooking up the football. Bayer Leverkusen beat Freiburg 2-0. Poku, this young gentleman, Ghanaian boy, wears low socks. He's looking spry. He scored a pretty decent goal this weekend. He's been scoring a lot lately. Tapsoba scored a header in the second half, and that was kind of wrapped up for Leverkusen. But I would like to tell you how much percentage points they had this weekend. Percentage-wise, actually.
Go on.
69.
Nice.
Very nice. This next game, I'm going to serve it up for Coach because he's so happy about this. Stuttgart 2, Mainz 1. And this is even more especially nice for Coach because Mainz took the lead first.
Yeah.
And then there was a goal from Christian Furch. And guess who scored the winner? Really lovely chip, by the way.
Ooh, who's up forever?
Stuttgart. Dennis Undav scored the winner. The floor is yours, Coach. You can opine on mines all you like. The floor is yours.
We're gonna get to the standings. I just want to tell you guys, they're still on 4 points. They've lost the last four in a row, guys. It will be today, Grandma. I'm sure of it.
Werder Bremen beat Union Berlin 1-0. I wrote this game because Marco Grill, he scored a winner. A really good goal, by the way. But 2 minutes before scoring the winner, he got a yellow card. So yeah, good for him. That's how you avenge it. By the way, Boniface started, but there's rumors of Boniface being fat.
Rumors. Have you not seen how he fits into that top? Have you not seen that, bro? Like, let's not take the piss. I love Boniface, by the way. Boniface is one of my his style of play is one of my favorite types of striker. He's a 1v1 specialist as a striker. He's technically great. He's got knees made of shit, unfortunately, but that's fine. But Boniface is a piss taker. Let's be honest here. You're a professional footballer. Let's not take the piss with your weight here, please.
This is why I love Victor Osimhen compared to most Nigerian players. Osimhen doesn't care if he's arrived or not. Osimhen works his ass off. The rest of these guys get to Europe and like, what you do? I've arrived. Yeah. That's it. And it's just like, no, bro. The hard work has just begun. Yeah. Like, what are you doing? Anyways, Augsburg 0, Leipzig 6. Coach, I brought this game up. I'm not going to bring up all the goal scorers because this is an ass from the highest order. Mm-hmm. Last week, we brought up a specific guy and he scored first, Diamande.
Mm-hmm. He's back again.
He's going places.
Mm-hmm.
He's going places. And his journey is insane. I tried to listen to his accent because I thought because he lived in America. Oh, no, he still sounds like he never left Ivory Coast. Yeah. So, Diamande. Yeah, it's beautiful. So shout out to Diamande. That's the only reason I brought it up to talk about Diamande. But if you can, go watch all six of those goals. They put hands and feet on Augsburg. Whoop their ass. Frankfurt, they beat St. Pauli 2-0. Jonathan Burkhardt got the brace. Pretty decent player. Germany's got some decent strikers coming up, but I can't trust a German striker anymore, man. Like, they try to tell us about Niklas Füllkrug. I don't believe you.
Yeah, well, okay, let's be frank here. Not counting Havertz, because Havertz is like kind of been forced upon him. But when was the last great German striker?
Valtamade is the best, I think, so far.
Right now, but when was the last great one? Like,
Oliver Bierhoff?
I think, what's his name, was just after him. You know? Klose was just after him, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So, probably Klose, if we're being real.
Mm.
Does Müller count? Müller doesn't really count, does he?
Muller's not a striker, man. Müller's just...
Yeah, he doesn't. I know. I was just trying to think. Because even when they won the World Cup, did they win it with Klose? I think they did. But even then, they were playing kind of more like a false nine.
Mm-hmm.
With Götze, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's been a while, man. It's actually been a while.
Yeah.
Well, that's got me actually thinking, how many great German strikers have there been in my lifetime? You've got Bierhoff, Klosard, Klinsmann. I'm sure Dean will be able to correct me on this. I'm struggling here.
I literally cannot think of any.
This is so bad. I'm struggling here, man.
I'm trying to think, man. Rummenigge?
I can name you 100 great German midfielders. You know.
Bro, I can't think of any German strikers, and this is bad.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking of Podolski?
Please.
Like, I'm thinking about Rudi Völler now.
Like, bro, yeah. We're struggling there. But even men that weren't even, you know, probably recognized as absolute legends. Someone like Thorsten Frings, right? Thorsten Frings is a... We're talking midfielders here now. Like, Thorsten Frings had a... cannon on him, yeah.
Boy.
Top player, but, you know, when you've got players like Ballack, you know, in that same generation, it's just like, okay, now there's actual levels. But then you go to the strikers, you're like, what's the name? Mario Gomez? But even in a name like Gomez, you're not German, let's not take the piss.
I'm not getting to geopolitics today, let's move on to Dortmund.
You know, Kevin Karami, but he was Brazilian anyway.
He was Turkish.
I swear he was Brazilian.
No.
Get to Google now.
He's Turkish. Look at the way.
Karami was Brazilian.
He was born in Brazil. You're right.
I think you are.
You're right. He's born in Rio. But his dad's from Hungary and his mom's from Panama.
For goodness sake. I know J.D. Vance is absolutely turning in his grave looking up from hell. So.
He's still alive.
No, sorry, I was projecting to the future, my bad.
Dortmund 1, Cologne 0. Max Bayer got the win in the 96th minute. Good little win for Dortmund. They needed that. We're banging on the door. But Dortmund, I would never believe in you, but I do believe in you sometimes. Not all the time.
To be honest, they deserve to win this game. They were smacking the shit out of them for literally the whole 90 minutes. Fair play to them.
Mönchengladbach 0, Bayern Munich 3. Kimmich, Rafael Guerrero in the 69th minute. Guerrero scored. Very nice. Lennart Kahr scored his first Bundesliga goal after 4 minutes of coming on. There's two young talents they got there. At Bayern, which I want everybody to pay attention to.
Mm.
Lennart Kahr.
Yep.
And the most Nigerian name of all time, Wisdom Mike.
Mm.
Wisdom Mike, he's a winger. And apparently that boy is really talented. Made the Champions League squad a week ago. Mm-hmm. So yeah, two big talents. Vincent Kompany got a new contract too, by the way.
That's interesting. Considering
I like Vincent Kompany, what he's doing so far, man.
Yeah, considering that Pep's leaving, probably at the end of the season, I think that's very interesting. He's giving him a new contract. But I think the most interesting about Bayern today is the fact that they started Nick Jackson and Harry Kane together.
And I think the most interesting part about all that is Harry Kane didn't even score today in that game.
I was actually going to come to that. Yeah, he didn't score, but. Leonard Carl's goal was pretty much a copy and paste on what he scored in the week. That's not an accident. He's got this is going to sound crazy. He's got the Wanyeri gene, even though they're only separated by probably about 12 months, you know, 10 months, something like that. I don't know. But he's got he's clearly got it. I'll be watching his progress very closely.
And watch Wisdom Mike, just because his name is great. That is the most Nigerian name you can ever give your child, Wisdom Mike. Jesus Christ, my people, man. Coach, can we get the standings we got at Germany so I can start thinking about Wisdom Mike?
Yeah, so you guys can guess who's on top, obviously. So Bayern Munich are now 5 points ahead of their nearest competitors. Leipzig on 19 points. Stuttgart in third on 18. Dortmund and Leverkusen are both on 17 points to round up the top five. But the most important part of this table is Mainz are still on 4 points. They have lost four in a row. They have quite literally lost four in a row. The only thing stopping them from being in the outright relegation places is goal difference. That's literally it. Goal difference of like two goals. So whoever you're playing next, Mainz, please, can they score like 12 against you? That would be really good. That would be nice.
Coach, that's a great segue because now we go to Ligue 1. Metz lost to Lille 6-1.
Yeah.
And again, 62% possession, a real thorough beating. Mets did get a late consolation goal, but this game was it was a wrap, man. Hamza Igamane, he has been doing very well for them. Yeah. Felix Carrera got a brace. Roman Parade, Benjamin Andre, Haraldson got goals. It's just, yeah, they whooped their ass. There's no other nice way of me putting it other than the fact that they saw them in the alleyway and stomped on them and took their lunch money. Left them a dollar as a consolation. That's literally what they did to them. Whoop their ass. Rennes won 2 Nice. Nice beat them. 2 goals in the first half. Rennes scored in C7, but they couldn't get another one. And Rennes' coach is on the brink of getting fired.
That's not
nice. So, unfortunately, I hate to see a black man lose his job. Monaco beat Toulouse 1-0. Mohamed Salisu got a goal in the third minute, and that was that. Coach, question for you.
Go on.
George Ilekina. You think Nigeria should look at him, even though we got like a billion strikers?
Well, I'll throw the question back to you, Tosin. Do you think they should look at him, considering we've got a billion strikers?
Why not? More the merrier. Well, we already play a 4-2-4. Why not add more strikers to the sauce?
There we go.
Lens beat Marseille 2-1. Nasty Man FC came back down to earth. They scored the first goal, and it was 2-1 after that. The winner came from Benjamin Pavard, an own goal. But it's a very cheeky penalty to make it 1-1. I don't know what kind of stones you got that you're down 1-0 and you decided to do a Panenka, but he did it nonetheless. I respect it.
I think those are the best times to do it though. Because nobody's expecting it. Yeah. So why not?
Yeah. Either you're gonna get taken off or you're gonna be the hero.
Yeah, exactly.
It's this either or. Lyon, they beat Strasbourg 2-1. Strasbourg shot themselves in the foot. They scored in the 25th minute. And they conceded a own goal. And here's the crazy thing. The red card came in the 67th minute. And it was Ismael Doucouré who also got the own goal, who now ended up getting a red card. So now they're down a man. They don't score to win it in the 91st minute from Alfonso Morea. It was probably the best goal of the weekend. It was a banger to win the game. So good for Lyon. I'd love to see Lyon one day win the Ligue 1 title again. But
well, I wouldn't actually, because they won it like 7 years in a row. I think they're good. They're good. Seriously, I remember they literally won it. Juninho was there, Juninho, Mikel Bastos, what's his name? Young Benzema was part of one or two of those teams as well.
SCN.
What's the name of that guy, the tall midfielder that seems to have been old his whole career? The Reed Richards, the Grays on the side, and he said, what's his name?
Began with an M.
He kind of looked a little bit like what's his name? He looked a little bit like Valeron. What's his name, man? Oh my god! I'm sorry, guys. Segue here, but
I'll give you one name that a lot of people don't remember.
Go on,
Mamadou Diarra.
Yes, Diarra as well was there.
Wiltor was on that team.
Let me try. Was it Jeremy something?
Sidney Govou, Benafra, Eric Abidal was on that team. Maluda, John Carew.
Yeah, Maluda. John Carew is at Lyon? I didn't know that.
Yeah, in 05, yeah.
Let's have a look. What was his name? Jeremy? I'm sorry, guys, but it's gonna bug me so bad. Oh, my gosh.
Jeremy Berthold.
Not Berthold, no.
No.
Oh, my gosh. Do you know what? We'll come back to it. We'll just have to come back to it.
Well, Brest lost to PSG 3-0. Mm-hmm. Hakimi got a brace. Now, my question for you, coach, before we get into the other goal, who do you think should win African Player of the Year this year?
I'll be honest with you. I think it's pretty clear. It has to be Salah, isn't it? It does.
I don't think so.
Given it, go on.
I think it might have to be Hakimi because of what he's done for club and country. How far Morocco's gotten, and then also on top of that, they won.
That's not a bad shot. Yeah,
he was the captain for PSG when they won their first ever treble.
Hmm.
So I'm going to say captain. He's one of the captains, but yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if he wins African Player of the Year. Also wouldn't be shocked if Salah wins it, but I think Hakimi's going to win African Player of the Year.
That's not, I think I changed my mind. It should be.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm with it.
Doué scored a goal in the 96th minute, and PSG's getting healthier. Ousmane Dembele's back. They still only get all their players back, which only means one thing. Hell for the rest of the league on, because they got a choke.
They're really starting to pull away already, to be fair.
So. Yeah. Can we get the standings before we go over to the English Super League?
Yeah, I mean, PSG have now got a 1-point lead, so this is the last time anyone will be this close to them for the rest of the season. They're 20 points. Lens on 19, Marseille and Lyon on 18 points, and Lille on 17 points, along with Monaco. Ansu Fati has 5 goals this season. I am so happy for him.
He deserves it. Let's go over to Leeds and West Ham. There's only one word to describe West Ham, and that's pathetic.
Yeah. I don't even enjoy it anymore, even though their fans are dickheads. It's sad now.
I think them and Wolves are guaranteed relegation.
Mm.
I think those two teams are just so bad that maybe I'm speaking too early, but they just look pathetic. I don't see where it changes. Brendan Aaronson and Joel Rodon got goals. West Ham got a consolation in the 90th, but they're just pathetic, man.
Yeah.
West Ham are just pathetic. Chelsea won, Sunderland 2. This was an amazing hate watch. Garnacho scored in the 4th minute, and I was kind of upset, like, damn. But then, Garnacho was not good the rest of the game. You got the Chelsea pint drinkers, the white Chelsea guys. He's sick of him. He was like, I'm sick of Garnacho. What is he doing on the pitch? I was really pissed about Garnacho. Isidore got a goal from a set piece, which is really wonderful. Chelsea cannot handle that. And then the winner in the 93rd minute from Taibbi. I love this goal because Chelsea fans are blaming Tosin and Chalobah. And I'm just like, who is the midfielder supposed to be running back and tracking back? Clearly somebody's not doing their job.
I found his name. Sorry, Tosin. I had to find it.
Good.
Tulalan. You remember him? Jeremy Tulalan. That was exactly who I was trying to find.
You see how much of nerds we are, ladies and gentlemen, that we had to take a break to talk about.
The only reason why I can remember him distinctly is because of he literally had the Reed Richards. He literally had the Greys like for his whole career, I'm pretty sure. So he got near Chelsea and that winning goal. How long did he actually hold the ball up for? I think we should probably start a timer on that. 6 or 7 seconds. That's a lifetime, bro. That's a lifetime. I actually can't believe that. You can cover most of the ground as a top level footballer. You can cover most of the ground in 6 or 7 seconds, bro.
Yeah.
that is crazy to me.
But the thing that made me just so happy about this whole entire game was Sir Granit Xhaka. He was still bopping around everybody. Like, he's. What a player.
Xhaka beating up Caicedo is just a tell of all this time back. I watched Xhaka beat up Barella in the Euros. So, like, Caicedo is light work for him. Like, he's done it while he's at Arsenal as well. So,
yep.
Yeah. Fuck Caicedo, bro.
Chelsea's wing play is so bad between Neto and Garnacho and whoever else they bring off the bench. Boy, Chelsea.
They're all the same winger. That's the thing. They're actually all the same winger, bro.
And they share the same brain cell.
They got
the same exact player profile, just on two different wings.
It's a hive mind, but I feel like mind is a little bit of a overestimation there. It's just a hive cell, brain cell. Let's call it that.
Yeah, but Chelsea's got issues. Newcastle 2, Fulham 1. The biggest takeaway from this game is Calvin Bassey was at fault for both the goals that Newcastle scored. I hate to admit it to my Nigerian brother, but Bassey was involved with both the goals and he messed up twice. But Kevin did change the game for Fulham. Came on, he was doing his little thing. But we have some good news, though, for Fulham. It's not all the way bad. Alex Iwobi set a record. He is the now has the most appearances for a Nigerian international footballer in the Premier League.
300, right?
300 for Alex Iwobi. Congratulations. He's
had a wonderful career, man. Like, I mean this with all sincerity. Alex Iwobi has had a, and it's not, and he's nowhere near finished. He's only 28.
Yep.
He has had a truly wonderful career, man. I really hope he kind of pulls a, I don't know. Who got a really good move quite late in their career? I hope he does one. As long as it's not Chelsea, I hope he gets like a good move. Like, would you take him at United?
What? What the heartbeat? What? Yeah. Easily. I love it, Iwobi, man. We said this when he was at Arsenal, and we said this a billion times in the podcast. Alex Iwobi is underrated. And yes, the way you talk about Alex Iwobi to me lets you know how much you know about football. So if you don't rate Alex Iwobi, I don't rate you. That's just how I feel. So
That's
how I feel. But yeah, Newcastle got a winner, so good for them. Brentford 4, Liverpool 2. Man, listen, my hate watch this weekend was just off the meters, bro. Like,
I'm so full.
I had to take my shirt off at some point. It was getting hot. I was so happy, man. I was like, ooh. And the crazy thing is, it happened in the NFL too. Like, all the teams I hated lost. All the teams I hated, both my teams won, Ravens that main night. I was like, ooh, what a great weekend. Thank you, God. I haven't had one of these in a long time. But yeah, 4-2, Liverpool, man. Is it time to sound the alarm for them?
I want to say yes, but I just feel like it's weird what I want to say. I feel like there's too much talent, but I also feel like the amount of talent is also overrated as well, if that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense.
So, in a sense, I don't mean the players are overrated. I just mean the sheer variety of it. When you actually really, really think about it, Ekitike, Isaac, Salah, I'm not going to count Wirtz just yet. All of them have really shown enough in this country, whether it was last season or this season, but Ekitike obviously this season, to show that they can obviously do what it takes. Gakpo as well, but Gakpo, I feel like Gakpo is, it's a weird one for me. I rate him, but I don't rate him as a, oh my gosh, he's the, you know what I mean, he has to play, he's the best of the, like, it's not even like that. And then you have Wirtz. So that's their best, that's their attacking five, essentially. That, to me, it seems a lot scarier on paper than what the reality is right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very expensive. It's very, not just in what the transfer fees, but in talking about in terms of wages as well. It's a very, very expensive front line. It's not scary to me, at least not yet. Mm-hmm. They'll probably get it together. But yeah, I feel like Slot has done too much change there. I think Ekitike would have been fine. Ekitike would have been fine with another, he could have spent that Isaac money on that, literally two other wingers. Two other wingers, or one other winger and another central midfielder.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Ways.
Kirkesh looks lost, man. It's... Oof.
Yeah. No disrespect to pregnant women, but he looks pregnant. You know, so...
Dominic Szoboszlai is looking better, though. I'll say that much.
Oh, yeah. He's making me change my mind a lot. I've always known he's been pretty good, but he's a lot better.
Yeah.
He's gotten a lot better as well, I feel like. He's a lot better than what I thought he would be. Seriously, he's very, very intelligent.
Yeah.
Very intelligent footballer. Seriously.
Mo Salah scored a banger, by the way, which is obscene.
Oh, good for him. We've seen him do single things like that we can't do 100 times. Good for you, man. Fuck off, man.
Funniest thing, Brentford, and excuse me, I said 4-2, it was 3-2. The funniest thing I saw Brentford fans say this weekend to Liverpool fans was like, you got infected by the STD, which was Shada, Thiago, and Dango Atura.
That is obscene, man.
I didn't put this in the agenda because I wanted to see your pure reaction. I saw it this weekend. I was like, you know what, man? Straight up.
Right, yeah. I've been following a Brentford fan for some years now. Really funny guy, right? Guy called Nico. And He was just like, he hates Keith Andrew, by the way. Like, he dislikes him so much. He was like, yeah, Liverpool, man, you got to sack Slot if you want to save your season. I was like, coming from you, bro. It's the funniest thing.
Keith Andrews has such an American insurance guy's name.
Yeah.
He says he's the best premium.
He looks like he's starring like a mid-2000s Judd Apatow film. You know
who he looks like? If you've ever seen Prison Break, He looks like one of the villains in the second half of the season. Like the one who married Schofield's wife, I think.
Yeah, I've never seen Prison Break, unfortunately. So.
Yeah, we'll keep it that way. It's not a good show. Man United beat Brighton 4-2. The Manchester United edition's out now. I did that with my boy Alex. Coach, I didn't really get your opinion on this game. What do you think?
When you start beating your bogey teams, that's a good sign. That's a really, really good sign, seriously, because there's a psychological block there that you've overcome. So that will give United a lot of confidence. I will say the Mbeumo goal, while the finish was unnerving and it was just great, what Šeško did for it, you know, I wouldn't say I'm envious. I wouldn't even say that I'm scared. I'm just very, I'm very annoyed is the word I'm looking for. I'm very, very annoyed. Yeah. It was really, really a ridiculous piece of play. But yeah, Cunha as well. Casemiro was great this game. Cunha scoring a great goal as well. The dummy from Bruno for the second Mbeumo goal was just out. You should get assists for that. I think as a collective, us FPL players, if we say a player scores from somebody else dummying it, the player that dummied it should get an assist. Let's be fair here. Because that was, the pass from heaven was great, don't get me wrong, but you don't score if Bruno doesn't do what he does. So
I have a question for you. How many games do you think Bruno Fernandes has played for Man United?
Oh, over 300.
Today was his 300th appearance.
Yeah, I think Bruno is, no disrespect to him, he's a cockroach, but in a good way.
Yeah.
Because you know, like, you know, there's always, like, I don't know how true this is, but apparently if there's nuclear war, cockroaches will survive.
Yeah.
That's Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah. He's the best signing. Listen, since Sir Alex Ferguson left, point blank period is the best signing United has made. Period.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree to a certain degree. I love Pogba. So, but the only thing is with Pogba, I feel the down periods were way too down. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
With Bruno, the down periods were flipping horrible.
Yeah.
But I still bag your goal or assist.
Like, look at that goal. Look at the assist he had last week against Liverpool. Right. The first time. He tries it every single game, and it's just like, you have brain damage. Stop doing it when it works. So, yeah. Shout out to Bruno. Aston Villa beat Man City 1-0. Oh, before we get there, Bournemouth beat Nottingham Forest 2-0. Mm. Forest, you can change your manager, but you can't change the maracas. So, there's that. Elie Kruppi, he did very well last year in France. Got 30 goals, I believe. And then Tavernier scored a straight from a corner kick.
Yeah.
Obscene. But Nottingham Forest, oof, you stink. I hope you get relegated. I'm trying to get me a LA Anderson right now.
Yeah, I'll be real. I just any misfortune that before with Marinakis right now, I'm just like, yeah, let's go. You know, I can't stand it. I hate people that think they're the main character. That's like, bro, like, just shut up. Like, he's called Silent Stan for a reason, bro. He shuts the fuck up. Do you know what I mean? Like, Marinakis just needs to go away, honestly, man. And stop committing so much crime. Allegedly.
Speaking of alleged crime, Aston Villa beat Man City 1-0. And the irony is, you know who scored the winner?
Matty Cash.
Isn't that funny? City losing to Cash.
That is good irony. Yeah.
City did score a goal, but it's offsides. I'm seeing a lot of City fans now realizing what they're shining into Johnny Rangers. There's a reason why they kept him up top at Milan, okay? They didn't want him going to midfield for a reason.
It's funny to me that it's not only just City fans, but there's a subsection of Arsenal fans that they go monkey brained when they see a bit of good technique. Like, all rational thought leaves their mind. So Johnny Randers is so good technically.
Mm-hmm.
That's not all you need to play in midfield. Being in midfield means you are the best of both worlds on and off the ball, defensively and offensively. And Randers is, if we're to draw like each chart, like in like a circle, like a octagon, if you like, all the defensive attributes would be like stuck to the middle. Like, he just look like a very awkward shape, and all the attacking attributes would be pushing towards the edges, if you like. that's not a, that's if you're a midfielder, you have to kind of be an all rounder in that regard. Reinders is good with the ball and he's got good movement off the ball. That's as far as it goes for me with him. But he's a good player. Don't get me wrong, he's a good player, but he's not an all rounder. He just isn't.
By the way, Sancho in this game got subbed on as a sub and got subbed off. Something is wrong with him spiritually, man. Like, it's got to the point where I'm not even making jokes. Like, genuinely, like, I was into Dave's album, and Dave was saying how his mom used to come and do Adura. Like, she used to come and put sand across his head with anointing oil. Sancho needs anointing oil, and he needs to go mosque, and he needs to go to the temple as well. He needs to cross-contaminate between Islam, Judaism, Christianity, and Buddhism.
What he needs to do, genuinely, what he needs to do is stop messing with East Africans. Yeah,
I'm not going to opine on that. I just believe that the East African people are wonderful people.
Have you heard the saying, hell hath no fury over a scorned East African? That's how the saying goes, man. No?
I'm not involved, okay? I love my East African people, okay? That's all I got to say.
Too. I just don't want to piss them off.
It depends on which country it is, too, because
I'm not specifying anything. You guys have a map, you know.
Go look at it yourselves. We don't do geography on this podcast. We just love our African people, no matter where you come from. Arsenal beat Crystal Palace 1-0. Arsenal edition is out now. Go listen to that right now,
Coach.
Coach Mitch Gabby's on that. Please go listen to that right now. Eze scored the winner, and that's the most African finish I've ever seen Eze do in his life, by the way. if you ever want the question where Eze's from on the continent, you just know that's the most African shit he's done in his life. Because why are you doing that? Why?
It was the finish itself was great, but seeing all the pictures afterwards, it could easily be a meme. Mm-hmm. It could easily be a meme. Great golden.
Yeah. By the way, Wanyeri has a brother, and I'm scared.
Oh, Emerson, yeah. They've been talking about him for like a year now because he's so flipping tall.
Everton hosted Tottenham and lost 3-0. It was a much-needed win from Tottenham. Everton's goal was called offside. Interfering with the key. I looked at it, I was like, bro, I don't even know what the rules are anymore. And I studied to be a referee. I don't even know what the rules are anymore, coach. Like, they're making stuff up, they're doing stuff every week that I'm just like Ahmad not getting a penalty. I'm like, bro, I don't understand what's happening in the Premier League anymore. The officiating is so bad. It's to the point where I'm just like, I don't even want to complain about it. It's just piss poor.
I haven't complained about refs for a while. I tell you what though, sorry to bring back to the Arsenal game, but the ref that refed us, that was the first time in his career ever refing Arsenal. And I think we need more of that, where you got just fresh faces in the Premier League, right? Just all the time. Because, yeah, the old guys stink. They absolutely stink of shit. So bring more random. They might only referee one game the entire season. Doesn't matter. The impartiality, you know what I mean? It's just. I feel like it's easier. You have no skin. Like the players aren't familiar with you. I think that's a good thing. Yeah. They're not familiar with you, kind of thing. They have to spend that entire 90 minutes wondering what kind of psychopath you are, which will probably mean that they probably behave themselves a bit more.
Do you know who the referees were for May Night? Is the VAR and the head ref?
Two dickheads.
Anthony Taylor was the main ref. Michael Oliver was the VAR.
Oh, of course, yeah, I was right. Two dickheads.
Question for you. Obviously, Tottenham 1-3-0. Is Xavi Simmons good?
He might be. He might be. he might be. I don't know, man. I said enough of him. He's obviously a good player, but being a good player in, you know, Holland and, I don't know, Germany is different to being a good player in England. So,
last but not least, coach, we got some randoms for you. Celtic has officially announced that Brendan Rodgers has left.
That's Rangers and Celtic getting rid of their managers in space for like 2 weeks.
Martin O'Neill will be taking over with Sean Maloney.
That is Celtic heritage.
And then now they link back to Ange.
Oh. Maybe it's probably best that he probably goes back to Scotland because, yeah, I don't think he's, yeah. His style of play requires him to have the very best of the best in the respect of me.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be it.
Just like Grand Potter going to Sweden, they need to go home to make themselves feel loved. Yeah. So that's all we got for the randoms. But winners and losers. Coach, you want to give me your winners this week?
Yeah. First winner is Mbappe. Can't stop scoring against Barcelona. Wonderful. Yeah, good for him. Second winner. Sorry to you guys, but it's Arsenal. Like, we won. City lost. Chelsea lost. Liverpool lost. I'm sorry. Like,
There's nothing
else we can say then. Final winner, Carl from Bayern Munich. I think he's had probably the best week of his life. Like, it's not even up for debate. Tell me your winners.
Ruben Amorim. I saw a video of him today. He looked like he got his collar back in his face. So Ruben, probably is going to get Premier League Manager of the Month for October.
Mm.
So good for Ruben Amorim. 3 wins out of 3. Mm. And Man United almost they were competing with Brighton for who was going to get 4 wins in a row at Old Trafford. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Second winner. I have to say Mbappe as well. I think Mbappe is on a tour to remind everybody that I'm very much that guy. And I want you to know that I am that guy, indeed. Last but not least, my last winner. I would have to say Lille as a club. They deserve that 6-1 win. They lost over in Europe even in the middle of the week. So shout out to Lille for getting that win. They needed that big time. Coach, I need your losers this week.
Yeah, Liverpool. I think I picked Liverpool that for the last 4 weeks. I'll never get bored.
They have lost like five out of the last 5.
I'll never get bored of it. players are falling off. Like in terms of injuries and shit, they're just so easy to play against. You know, they're conceding a whole bunch of chances.
Mm-hmm.
Slot's head is really, really shiny, man. Like, second loser, I hate to do it to him, but Pedri, man. Like, a red card in the Clasico after you lost as well. Yeah, at least like break someone's face, something like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it is what it is. My final loser, pardon me. My final loser, I want to give it to City. I do want to give it to City, but I think I'm going to give it to Mainz. Fuck Mainz, bro.
I rate it. I have one loser this weekend. Just one. Because she can take all 3. There's a philosopher from Atlanta who said this one thing, and I believe it. But this time, I'm not going to believe it. He said, all grown men stay out of women's business. And I stay out of women's business for 90% of the time because I don't need to be involved in women's business, okay? I only get involved whenever I'm called into, and even then, I'm not involved in women's business. But this right here, she's a big loser. Elizabeth Eady, who plays in the NWSL. She's been in the NWSL for 11 years, and she basically was saying that we need to do gender testing for women in the NWSL. Basically saying that Barbara Banda and all the other African women effectively aren't women. I hate to talk about race and all these other things, but whenever I hear Oyinbo women talk like this, it really grinds my gears, okay?
Because it's racism. You can say that. It's racism.
It's racist. It's sexist. It's damn near transphobic. It's all the isms, right? And I hate people who do the isms. We are too progressive as a society to be regressive. Okay.
Are we though?
No, we're not. We should be.
I get what you mean in the sense of where the sort of conversations we're having now probably weren't as common as they were even 10 years ago.
For sure.
Kind of thing. But just looking at the way, you know, polls, like voting polls have been going in the West for the last, I don't know, 5-6 years.
Bro, it's
we're nowhere near as progressive as we want to be. So people having the courage, you know what I mean? People having the courage to say these things, I think it's indicative of the time that we're in.
For sure.
It is. I get what you mean, though. Like, we should be more progressive.
Mm-hmm.
But really and truly know that we're not. Her saying that is very, very much on brand for the times of living. It just is. That.
Yeah, and it's just like, you're the most random NWSL player ever. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't even know you were in the league for that long. We didn't even know. We didn't even know you went here, as they would say in what's it called? What's that movie again?
The Mean Girls. You don't even go here.
You don't even go here. Like, who asked you? And you have this long post on Twitter about ranting about women need to be testing and this, that, and the third. It's like, shut up. Like, why are you bringing these, like, weird energy to the world? It's like the NWSL has grown so much in the last decade. It went from being on the brink of being a league that's almost out of existence to now being one of the most powerful women leagues in any woman's sport. So for you to come here and do all this nonsense, you're a loser. Okay, I don't want to get more into politics and how I really feel, because if I do, I might start speaking Yoruba, but you're a loser, okay? That's just how I feel. Elizabeth, either you're a loser for the next 3 weeks, okay? That's what you are. A big, yeah. Fat loser. Congratulations, you lose. And that's all I have to say.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add, Coach? Obviously, everyone, please don't forget to like, comment, share, subscribe. We really, really love you guys so much for just sharing, listening to all of us talk about football, talk about life and everything in between. So please don't forget to share, like, comment, subscribe. Share with everybody, your cat, your dog, your mom, random neighbor, the guy in the coffee shop. Share it with everybody, please. Anything else, Coach?
That's it for me, bro. Thank you, guys. Love you, guys. And, yeah, see you soon.
Yes, see you soon. We love you guys. We're out. Take it easy. Peace.